We're doing Birkavot, our review, and we're up to our fourth chapter. Again, we'll dedicate our learning to Freida Anna Bat David Anita Baila. Her neshama should have an aliyah. Ben Zoma taught, and we mentioned that the first few Mishnayot, Ben Zoma and Ben Azai, they were Shimon Ben Zoma and Shimon Ben Azai. They died young, and that's why they were always known by their father's name. So Ben Zoma taught, who's a wise man? We always think a wise man is one who has a lot to teach. Ben Zoma teaches us a wise man is one who could learn from everyone. Who is a brave man? He conquers his desires. Who is a wealthy person? A person who is happy with his lot. Again, Ben Zoma is teaching us it's not what you think. A wealthy person is someone who's happy with his lot. Who is honored? He who gives honor to God's creatures. Ben Azai taught, be swift, run to a light mitzvah like a weighty mitzvah, and run away from sin. Because the tendency is, once you start performing mitzvot, one mitzvah will bring on another. And the same is true once we get into a negative cycle, one avera brings on another. The wages of a mitzvah is a mitzvah, and the wages of an avera is an avera. A mitzvah begets a mitzvah, and an avera begets an avera. We should get into positive cycles. He used to say, Do not mock any human being, and do not mock anything. For every human being has his hour when he is pivotal, and everything has its place where it is necessary. Rabbi Levitas, the head of the city of Yavne, said, be very, very humble, for the ultimate hope of man is vermin. That's where we're headed. Rabbi Yochanan, the son of Baroka, taught, whoever desecrates God's name in hiding, he thinks he could cheat on his taxes and no one will know. When the time comes to pay him back, Rabbi Levitas warns, they will pay him back in public. And in heaven, they don't care if you desecrated God's name on purpose or by mistake. The payback is public. Rabbi Yishmael taught, he who learns for the sake of teaching, in heavens, they will afford him the capacity to learn and teach. But he who learns for the sake of performing, in heavens, they will afford him the possibility to learn, to teach, to protect, and to perform. Rabbi Tzadok says, do not make the Torah a crown. Don't use it as something to become big by. Don't use it as a shovel to dig with to make your parnasa. Hillel warned, whoever uses the crown of Torah will pass from the world. Who gets a benefit from the world, from the words of Torah, is in essence taking his life out of the world. Rabbi Yossi taught, if one honors the Torah, then the creatures will honor his body. And if one desecrates the Torah, then the creatures will desecrate his body. Rabbi Yishmael taught, who are the creatures? So we had in Telz, one of the big rabbeim, when he'd walk, there were barking dogs, there were vicious dogs. When he'd walk by, they were always calm. The creatures is not only humanity. The creatures is all of God's creatures. Our sages say that when Moshe came before Pharaoh, Pharaoh had lions in the entrance to his palace, and Pharaoh had vicious dogs and snakes. He had all kinds of animals that were there to attack anyone that dared try to approach him. And when Moshe came, they ran before him like pups. A person who honors the Torah, his body, his very body is honored on the creatures. And that's what our sages taught. The one who keeps the Torah properly, the vermin don't take hold of his body. The body remains intact. Famous story in Europe about 150 years ago. They were digging, they found in the Jewish gravesite a Jew buried in a monk's clothing. You know the story? So they did research, what's happening, why is this Jew buried with monk's clothing? The end of the story was, this Jew was the one in charge of collecting for the poor. And it was a difficult year. Everyone came asking him for loans, and he ran out of money, and someone came to him and said, my family's finished, I got nothing to give my kids, everyone's hungry, time has passed, you gotta help me. And he said, you know, I just went around getting money for other poor people, there's no one left to give me, there's one guy. The wealthy person's son, he's making a party today. If I go in, I'll just make fun of me. I'm not going to get anything. And the guy tells him, you can't let me go. I can't come back home. And my kids haven't eaten in days. You can't do this to me. So he goes out to the party. And this wealthy person's son is drunk. And when he comes in, the son tells him, you probably came to collect money. How much money do you need? So he tells him how much money he needs. He says, I'll tell you what. I got a monk's clothing here. You put that on you, and me and my party will follow you masquerading through town, singing and shouting. And if you do that, I'll give you the money you want. So the poor guy in his life, he's never worn a monk's clothing, but he knows this is going to save the Jew's life. So he says, why should I suffer this shame? Do me a favor. Just give me the money. The poor man, he needs the food for his kids. So the drunken son tells him, if it's so precious to you, so put on the clothing and let's dance around town. So he sees he has no choice. He's dealing with this guy as he is. He puts on the monk's clothing. They start dancing around town. The whole town looks out the windows, sees this pious Jew wearing a monk's clothing, and everyone's dancing behind him, making fun. At the end of the procession, he gets the money, he comes back home, gives it to the poor man, takes off the monk's clothing, throws it in a closet. A few months pass, and a Hasidish Rebbe is passing through town. And when he enters the town, he says, I smell Gan Eden in this town. They tell him, really? Where's the Garden of Eden? He starts walking around town, and he points to that, the one in charge of the tzedakah, the Gabbai tzedakah's house. He says, from that house, let me go to that house. He knocks on the door. The Gabbai tzedakah says, how can I help you? He says, I smell Gan Eden in your house. Let me around your house, please. I smell Gan Eden coming from here. He goes around the house till he comes to a certain closet. He says, in here. They open the closet. They see the monk's clothing on the floor. The Rebbe told him, that monk's clothing has the Garden of Eden in it. You have to wear that when you're buried. So he says, really? So the Rebbe tells him, yeah. Tell me, what's the story behind those clothing? So he tells him the whole story, and the Rebbe said to him, you wear that when you're buried, and you're going straight to the Garden of Eden. And this was the story they uncovered about 150 years ago, and this Jew, his body was intact. The vermin didn't eat it. We have on tradition that a person who lives a pure life, then the vermin don't consume his body. That's, I don't remember. You can look it up. I'm sure the story's printed online. So anyways, that's Rabbi Yossi says, you honor the Torah, then a person's body is honored upon all of God's creations. This is a reference to animals, but it's one person in a generation who merits to be on such a level. In the times of Tanoim, in truth, their body wasn't eaten by vermin. The Talmud says, okay, we don't have time. This is a quick review. Rabbi Shmuel says, you want to stay tuned. Next year we'll learn it again. We'll go more in depth. Rabbi Shmuel says, if a person avoids going to court, he's avoiding hatred, thievery, false promises. If you go to court, even if you're just, the other side might hate you for it, might try to steal you, might swear falsely. You avoid the courts, you've avoided all of these. A person who is crass, who is brazen, who is proud in giving Torah teaching, he feels like, oh, just tell him this is permitted, this is prohibited, without looking into the law correctly, he's considered a fool, a wicked person, and the person who is crass. He used to teach, Rabbi Yishmael used to teach, don't judge alone. The only one who could judge alone is God. You want to judge, bring along your friends, hear what they have to say. And don't tell the other people, I know what's right, you listen to me. How do you know? Maybe they're right. Rabbi Yonasan says, whoever keeps the Torah out of poverty ultimately will keep it out of wealth, and whoever does not keep the Torah out of wealth, well, ultimately, he won't keep the Torah out of poverty. Rabbi Meir warns, he says, minimize your business and make your business Torah, and be humble before every person. Oh, how important is that advice? Be humble before every person. That means the guard, the chauffeur, the taxi driver, the doorman. Be humble before every person. If you've spent a lot of time not learning Torah, well, there are many, if you're open to pausing your learning Torah, to stopping your learning Torah, there'll be many causes available to stop your learning. Yeah, whatever you want. There are always emails to answer, cell phones to answer, SMS. Hey, in every generation, if you're open to stopping your learning, there'll always be reasons to stop. Rabbi Meir. And if you work hard at the Torah, then there are great wages to be given you. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov taught, if you do one mitzvah, you're getting a good defense attorney in heaven. You do one aveira, you've acquired for yourself a prosecutor in heaven. The best protection is doing tshuva and good deeds. They are like a shield before bad things that can happen. Rabbi Yochanan, who used to work fixing people's sandals, he was a shoe blacksmith, he said, any gathering that's for the sake of heaven, they'll ultimately succeed. And if people gather and it's not for the sake of heaven, it won't last. Rabbi Lezer ben Shemua warned us, the honor of your student should be as precious to you as your own. And the honor of your friend should be like the fear of your teacher. and the fear of your teacher like the fear of heaven. Rabbi Yehuda warned, be careful with your learning, because one error could cause a person to err in action. Rabbi Shimon taught, there are three crowns, the crown of Torah, the crown of Kahuna, the crown of Malchus, and the crown of a good name surpasses all of them. Rabbi Noorai taught, when you a person should exile himself to learn Torah. If you come from America, come to Israel to learn Torah. Don't try to learn Torah in your home territory. It's more difficult. And when you do have to travel, make sure you go to a locale where there's Torah. We discussed, this is one of the big mistakes people make. A lot of people lost all their knowledge of Judaism in the United States because they went out to Hoboken and who knows where, all kinds of territories where there was no Jewish day school, there was no synagogue. That's the warning Rabbi Noorai warns us. If you have to travel, situate yourself in a place where your children will learn Jewish values, a place of Torah. Don't assume it'll come after you. Don't say, I'll be the pioneer, I'll go there first, everyone will come after me. No. You have to choose a place where you can live a Torah lifestyle. And if you have friends around you who are good observant Jews, so then together you'll be able to sustain the Torah. Don't assume you're smart enough to do it alone. A person has to always choose a locale which will be supportive of the way of life he wants to lead. Rabbi Yanai taught us, we cannot get a complete understanding of why the wicked have it peaceful and why the righteous have pain. We have all kinds of explanations. But at the end of the day, we don't have an explanation that can completely placate our souls. Rabbi Matya ben Charash taught, greet every person with peace. Be quick to greet them first with peace. And it is preferable to be the tail of lions than the head of foxen. Meaning, try to be a part of a group that's better than you, even if you're at the bottom of the group. It's better to be with a group that's better than you and be at the bottom of the group than to be in a group where you're the top, but it's a lower group. Rabbi Yaakov taught, this world is like a hallway before the world to come. We have to prepare ourselves in the hallway so that we enter the castle. He used to say, an hour and a short time in this world doing tshuva and good deeds is better than all of the life of the world to come. And an hour of pleasantness in the world to come is better than all the life of pleasantness in this world. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar taught, when you see your friend angry, that's not the time to appease him. Let him calm down and then try to appease him. A person just lost a relative, don't try comforting him then. If his dead is right before him, that's not the time to comfort him. And when a person is just taking a vow, I swear this, I swear that, don't try to convince him otherwise. And don't try to see your friends at their time when they're down. So this is advice we once discussed. People always ask, how should I comfort my friend? Should I empathize or should I try showing him how it's not so bad? Well, empathy is what to do in the very beginning. When a person is just hit by the trauma, then you empathize with how bad it is. That's what the Mishnah is teaching us. And only afterwards can we start helping them see that it's not the end of the world. Shmuel HaKatan, Shmuel, who is called Shmuel the Minor, because he used to be very, very humble, he says, his quote is just a pasuk, when your enemy falls, don't be happy. And when he stumbles, don't let your heart rejoice, lest Hashem see and it be bad in his eyes, and then he takes his anger from him back upon you. Elisha ben Avuya, we learned he is Afer, he taught, if you teach a child, it's like ink written on fresh parchment, on fresh paper. If you teach an old man, it's like ink written on erased paper, where it doesn't get absorbed well, nor is it read well. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda from the Babylonian town used to teach, if you teach the youth, it's like eating grapes that aren't yet ripe and wine that hasn't yet fermented. You teach the old, it's as though you're eating grapes that are ripe and wine that has been aged. Rebbe says, I disagree with you, Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda. Don't look at the vessel, but rather by what it holds. You can have a new vessel filled with old wine, you could have a young kid who has tremendous understanding, and you can have an old vessel that doesn't even have new wine. You can have an old person that doesn't even have fresh Torah. Don't just look at the age of the person who's speaking. Look at the content of what they're saying. Lezer HaKapper taught, jealousy, desire, and the quest for honor cause a person to die young. Again, jealousy, desire, and the quest for honor. He used to teach. Remember the cycle of life. Those that are born, they're headed for the grave. Those that are dead, they're headed for resurrection. Those that are alive, they're headed for justice. ultimately it will be known, everyone will recognize that he's the potent one, he's the one who gave fashion to our creation, he is the one who created us, he understands, and he is the judge, he is the witness, and he is the opponent in court, he's the one that will judge us. Blessed is he, because there's no cheating, there's no forgetting, there's no bribery, there is no ill treatment. Everything is his, and everything that he will judge us is based upon a calculation. And don't let your desire promise you that you'll escape to perdition. That's not true. We were created against our will, and we were born, no one asked whether we want to or not, we just came to the world. We're alive, and no one asks us whether we choose to be alive. No one asked us. All the decisions of life are whether we like it or not. By the same token, when it comes time to die, it happens whether we like it or not. And by the same token, whether we like it or not, we will have to give an explanation, and we will have to stand to justice before the King of Kings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that brings us to the conclusion of the fourth chapter.